Welcome to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today with Jill Ramsey. And Jill is Supervisor of Curriculum and Instruction at Putnam County Schools, focusing on pre-K through fourth grade. And we're going to talk about that role and all the other things she does at the school also. But we particularly want to talk about summer learning camps this year. Jill, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back, Bob. Thank you for asking me.
And did I get your title correct?
That's as correct as it can be.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Well, we've been through a year of history that we hope never repeats itself, starting with tornadoes and then going to a full-blown pandemic. And I think every child in the United States has been affected by this one way or another.
Absolutely. I agree. It has been a record-breaking year for us in the school system, too, and in a good way, in that we're one of the few districts, I think, in the country who has remained open during this pandemic. And that's something we're really proud of. We face the challenges we've planned, we've planned well, and we've kept kids in school.
And I think the leadership team has to be credited for that. You've just, you were ready, you had the gun loaded, and you just went ahead and did it.
We did. And while kids do have some learning loss because teachers and students were quarantining at different points, and it lacked the continuity that we would have wanted it to have. But regardless of that, we still feel really good about what we've accomplished, and we feel like kids are, for the most part, on track.
Well, part of that credit goes back a number of years to the leadership and the planning, school board on down, that put in Google Classrooms and put in a Google environment here in Putnam County that made it a little bit easier to make that transition.
I would completely agree. We're so fortunate in Putnam County to have a board that is so visionary and looking ahead down the road rather than right in front of us. And all the work that we've done, Sam Brooks with the virtual and vital departments, and providing kids with several opportunities and options to cater to their specific needs, because kids learn differently, and we are so fortunate that we've offered a menu of options for kids, and so that played well into the COVID pandemic and what we faced with that, because we just kept doing basically what we were doing, but maybe more broad.
Yeah, a lot of kids had major adaptation to make in the sense of maybe not having the technology they needed. And
right.
Certainly parents had a lot of adaptation early on when distance learning was taking, remote learning was taking place.
Parents have, and you know, the great thing about that is parents now have a new appreciation for what teachers did, and they are very happy to be going back.
Yeah, I've heard some say, I never signed up for this.
No, none of us did.
And the teachers themselves never signed up for this kind of a challenge.
No, they haven't. But, you know, our teachers are the best. I mean, we have the best teachers. They are so flexible. They go with the flow. And, you know, initially when we started looking at how to address COVID, we looked at remote options. We had some teachers teaching remote and, you know, in person, and we recognized that was a huge challenge, and we were able at the elementary level, we just backed up, we pivoted, and we changed what we were doing, and we provided an opportunity for teachers to be either remote teachers or in person. So we have some teachers that have been dedicated to just remote all year. And that's really that's what's been so positive at the elementary level, is that those teachers, because they were able to just focus on remote, I've gone in and watched them, how they interact with the kids. And it is amazing how hands-on, so to speak, they can be through a screen. But they have made the best of a really bad situation, and kids have thrived in it. And I'm just proud that we had the opportunity to continue to educate kids, even if it was through a screen.
And kids are very comfortable with screens, more so than I am.
They are.
And they just, as you say, they did a quick pivot, and this is the way it is, and they went forward.
They did. They did. And I'm again, so proud of them. And it's so funny to watch parents with their children. And I think moving forward, too, even when kids go back to school, those parents have a new understanding of the curriculum and what instruction looks like, how important it is to speak to their kids, work on sounds. And so they almost, it's like they were trained to be the teacher. And I'm really, I have to do a shout out to dads, because there was a lot of dads in those classrooms, in those Zoom classrooms, really interacting with their kids. And we all think of moms doing all that all the time, but there were a lot of dads, and I'm going to say I'm really proud of the work that they did. Shout out to dads.
Well, and they probably learned a little bit as they went through that too, both moms and dads.
They did.
Well, that's great. But we want to talk today about getting through this summer. And we know there has been some degree of challenge in the year. And mm-hmm. some kids have had more learning loss than other. But let's talk a little bit about summer camp and about the bridge programs that are coming up in Putnam County.
Sure. Well, I want to give everybody just a little bit of brief background on where the Summer Learning Bridge and camps came from. Basically, legislators passed a bill, and that bill is called the Tennessee Learning Loss Remediation and Student Acceleration Act. That's a mouthful. But it requires that every district in the state of Tennessee has to offer a remediation camp or acceleration camp during summers. And that it will be for all current kindergarten through seventh graders. It won't be available for eighth grade going into high school. Hopefully there'll be other opportunities for those kiddos. But it's going to really focus on remediating or accelerating any gaps in their current year. We're not going to introduce new material. So it's not like we're previewing the next grade. We're really trying to just fill those learning gaps that may have occurred, not from the fact that we weren't in school all year, because we were, but there were several times when some kids were, you know, they were quarantining two or three times during the year, and so were teachers. So that left, you know, some gaps or lack of continuity in their education. And some students may have some significant gaps, even though starting last spring, when we had to really just hit the ground running with remote learning, and we weren't prepared at that point. So basically, from March through the end of the year, we were providing instruction remotely, but we were scrambling to get devices to kids and get hotspots so kids could get on. So there was some gaps in that. And a lot of people say, well, the end of the year, you don't do that much. There's testing and all that. Well, we really do. And just at the elementary level, as an example, kindergarten in the way we approach the curriculum and specifically reading now is a sounds first approach. So that means at the end of kindergarten is when you really start working on letter identification. So that was about that time. So we've noticed a big gap in first graders this year in knowing their letters. They know those sounds, but they're struggling a little bit with the letters. So those are the kinds of gaps that we want to address mm-hmm. in the summer learning. And I want to stress that the summer learning and bridge camps are available to every student, whether they have learning gaps or not. And parents can take advantage of that. It's 5 days a week for the elementary students, with a stream camp on Fridays, and we'll talk more about what that stream camp is. And then for the fifth through seventh graders, it's a 4-day week camp. And I do want people to know that when we talk about summer camps, it almost suggests that it's a play, you know, like going to summer camp.
Right.
And really, by state law, it requires that we give 2 hours of reading a day, 2 hours of math instruction, 1 hour of intervention on their specific learning loss, and then an hour of physical education. And basically all you have left there is lunch. So it is a rigorous school day. And I do want parents to know that it's just through the month of June, but they're going to work hard in that month. The Friday stream class, and a lot of people will say, well, does that mean you go to the stream, or what does that mean? But, you know, we started with STEM, and we went to STEAM, and now we're at STREAM.
Now it's STREAM. That thing's just going to get longer and longer, isn't it?
And basically what that means is it's everything. It's science, technology, reading, engineering, arts, and math. So that's pretty much everything.
You know, it's so important, though, students that have a bit of a gap, but even those that are at a regular position in their development. I played a lot of tennis in high school and in college, and if I took the summer off, that skill set went away.
Yes.
And the same thing is true with math and with science kinds. If you don't practice it, it doesn't stay there over the summer.
That's right. Your brain's a muscle, and it's gonna do the same thing. We talk all the time about summer slide anyway.
Yeah.
So there's some gaps at the end of the summer anyway, because kids are tired. And we, you know, that's one of the things we really worried about is that's a rigorous day, and because we have been in school all year, you know, what is the point? But really, you know, there are gaps in their learning, and it's not going to hurt kids to be challenged in the summer, you know, and have that rigorous day of learning. And the teachers are going to do an exceptional job of getting kids up and moving during that time and presenting the learning in a way that's active rather than, you know, just, you know, sitting at a desk and receiving information.
And it'll be fun for a lot of them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about streaming and about some of the other things that are going to happen at summer camp. We're talking to Jill Ramsey, the supervisor of curriculum and instruction pre-K through 4 in Putnam County Schools. And we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Jill Ramsey, and we are talking about this summer's Putnam County School System Summer Learning Camp and the Bridge Program. And Jill, I guess to start with, we need to make sure everybody understands there isn't a cost for this thing to the parents or to the family. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. As they say at church, it's free 99. So no cost. And I want to add too, we know that there's a lot of parents who work in the summer. So there will be, typically we have a LEAPS camp in the summer. So instead of LEAPS camp, LEAPS will be in the mornings, in the afternoon, before and after the learning camp. So from 6 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock, we'll have LEAPS camp, which is free of charge. They'll feed them breakfast and take care of them and get them ready for the learning. And then in the afternoon from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So basically you have childcare from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 at night at no cost to you. So I think that's very enticing for parents too, who
sure
have really struggled, and some of those people haven't worked in a long time. So this has been a huge benefit to those parents too. So, you know, if parents, you know, are searching for some kind of childcare in the summer and they want their kids to, you know, have a learning experience, it's a great opportunity.
It really is. And they'll get to be with some of their friends and classmates. So that'll be fun. And I think I could probably sit in on some of that and learn relearn some math. Probably learn it in a different framework than it was taught taught to me. And all the teachers and staff are certified. This is going to be a full-blown educational experience.
It will be. All teachers must be certified. We will have even certified PE teachers during that time, certified interventionists, highly qualified certified teachers during that time. I do want parents to know that they won't have their same teacher. We will pull from a pool of teachers. The locations right now, I think we've pinned down our Cookeville location, which will be Prescott South Elementary and Middle School. For the Cookeville location, we have over 150 kids registered in the Baxter area now. So, of course,
wow.
Yes, that's a lot. We're really excited about that we're able to offer it in Baxter at Cornerstone Elementary. And we're still looking at our numbers at Monterey and mm-hmm. hoping to get enough students. If you're listening from Monterey and you haven't registered your child for summer learning and you're interested in that, we really want to offer that opportunity in your own community. But we'll have to look at the numbers and make sure we have enough to do that.
Well, that's good. And I hope we do. It's a long drive from Monterey.
Absolutely.
And so it'd be great to have the opportunity right there.
There will be busing too. You mentioned it's a long way. Transportation will be provided for families who need it.
That's great. Well, it's good that our legislature thought ahead and put this framework in place. Even though I know there was some debate about it. It's mm-hmm. They anticipated something that I think we can all agree is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of that reality, you still are doing end-of-year testing.
We are.
The end-of-year testing will be treated differently this year in terms of how it's used. Is that correct?
That's correct. We will be held harmless for that. That means I would say no accountability, but we are accountable.
Yeah.
We're always accountable for test scores, and we should be.
Yes.
And we use that data to see what the learning gaps are. But we're not. It's not going to figure in teachers. They're not going to be held responsible.
Right. It's not part of their evaluation this year.
That's
just
right.
Because it's been such an unusual year.
That's right. But we will use that data to determine what growth we need. I mean, we look at mm-hmm. student data to see where we need to improve, how we need to better support teachers to make those improvements. Student outcomes are always our goal. Positive student outcomes, that's what we do. So any data that we have, we don't just look at that data. So a lot of people think we only look at the end of the year test scores, and we don't. We look at what that student does every day in the classroom. We look at benchmark testing, weekly, you know, assessments that they do. We look at the whole child. So I've had lots of conversations on the phone recently with parents who have worried about that the third grade law about, you know, you being retained if you don't meet basic proficiency in reading or math. And I try to explain to them we never look at one test for that.
Right.
We look at that child's data, you know, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, and it's a team decision whether it's best for that child to be retained or not. And if we offer a summer intervention for third graders and we feel that a lot of those gaps are met, we pass them on. So there's a lot to that. It looks very black and white. If you don't make basic, then we fail you. And it is not like that at all.
But it's in the child's best interest to, if that skill set isn't there, then you want to develop it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No child left behind.
No child left behind. Thank you, President Bush. I believe it was President
yes.
Bush. Well, talk about target schools. Do you see the state framework for target schools changing this year at all because of these scores?
I don't think that they're going to specifically use that end of the year data to target schools at all. They haven't talked about that. In fact, they've said they wouldn't do that. We would not be held responsible for that, but we'll be looking at that. Obviously,
sure.
We look at those schools who aren't performing as well, and we try to find reasons behind that,
yeah.
And then we try to support those schools
Absolutely.
To get there. So, yes, we look at that. that, but the state, again, is not going to hold us responsible.
Well, that's good. Well, let's talk about streaming, and we'll probably have to take a break in midstream here on this, and then we'll come back and talk some more about it. But science, technology, engineering, and math was the STEM concept back 10 years ago, a little more than that. And then the arts was added, and that became STEAM. Mm.
Yes.
And now we've added reading. And I guess reading is the big ad.
That's the last ad.
And so that becomes STREAM. Talk about the STREAM curriculum as the child will see it.
Right. Well, it's an interesting concept. And part of that bill was a STREAM mini camp. And basically, we were required to add an hour to each day to meet that requirement. And it had to be STREAM-type activities. So we felt like that day was way too long for kids. So we applied and received a waiver to offer the STREAM activities all in one day. And that's our Friday day. So STREAM Friday is what we call that at the elementary learning camp this summer. And so what we wanted to do by putting it on Friday by itself is to provide opportunities for kids to go to local parks, visit parks and you know, do STREAM activities in the streams, you know, in the creeks. Yeah.
There's a lot of science in those streams.
There are. And then to work with, of course, Tennessee Tech, the Oakley Center with some of our activities, maybe provide some virtual field trips, things that we want to spend the whole day on with those kids. So that's going to be our STREAM mini camp. And, you know, we've got a perfect location is Prescott South, who is a certified STEAM school. And that wasn't planned, but it just worked out well. So they've got their kindergarten, you know, woods close by, and they'll do some activities there. I think even I heard that the, the little derby that they do is at that time, boxcar derby or something, whatever.
Pinewood Derby. Is that it?
Yes. And that's going to be held at the same time. That's going to provide some opportunity, too, for kids to learn about science and movement, gravity, those
Absolutely.
Kinds of things. So we're excited about this opportunity.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be fun, and I want to try to get out and watch some of this sometime. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about streaming. Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today with Jill Ramsey from Putnam County Schools. And we are talking primarily about the summer learning camp for students who are entering grades 1 through 5 and the bridge camp for students who are entering grades 6 through 8. And these camps are coming up very soon now in June. And we've been talking about the fact that the camp is going to focus on streams, science, technology, reading, engineering, arts, and math. And they're going to be looking at the gaps that are there from the pandemic year. But these are going to be really important bridges for these students, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's, people think when you talk about reading and math, it doesn't include those other things, and it absolutely does. Anybody that's familiar with our curriculum in Putnam County knows that from pre-K on, that a lot of our ELA curriculum is centered around social studies and science content. Even at the youngest ages, they learn about the War of 1812. They're learning about the human body and very complex topics, and that curriculum was chosen for that purpose because we wanted the kids to learn about the world and learn about topics of substance at an early age. And that way we know what they're building toward in middle school. We don't want that content to just smack them in the face when they get in middle school. We want them to have as much exposure to that as possible in the early grades.
Well, it's just anything we can do to give them a little extra leverage is a good thing. And especially in this year where we're just getting beyond the pandemic, it's going to be a really important time to make sure they've got all the skill sets that they
absolutely
that they need. And I know, again, reading is a new part of this STEM or STEAM language, but I don't think we can ever emphasize enough, especially at the age 1 through probably 80, but certainly 1 through pre-K, how important it is to read to your children and to let them see you reading. Parents have a big role there, don't they?
They certainly do. And because of the pandemic, you know, in the past, Barbara Greeson and I have been out on the WOW bus really promoting reading, but Barbara specifically did a huge amount of work promoting early reading with kids. I have a new grandchild myself, and I kid my daughter all the time about, you know, are you reading to her? And I think it just about drives her crazy, but it really is one of the most important things that you can do, not just reading to your child, but really talking to your child, having conversations, taking walks. And, you know, when you mention STREAM, you know, just looking at things. They're such curious little people. When they ask questions, have those deep conversations with them because they love that. And modeling that vocabulary for them, you know, we don't want those vocabulary gaps from day one. We don't want them to enter school behind. And I know that's a hard concept for people to believe, but there's a huge vocabulary gap for kids who have not been exposed to a lot of deep conversations with their parents. So, yes, reading and speaking and talking to your kids in the grocery store, wherever you get an opportunity, is absolutely essential.
Well, that's just great advice for parents. We don't want to forget to talk about registration for these programs, and that's coming up right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're in the middle of registration right now until April 20th for the summer learning and the bridge camps. So you can go online and register. The schools have sent out all that information, and if you can't find it, contact the schools. There's paper copies too, but we would really like people to register online, and they need to do it before the 20th of April because that turnaround time of getting those budgets done and planning a great camp is absolutely essential. And then the other deadline, if you have an incoming kindergartner, you know that last week was kindergarten registration. So that was a big day for new kids coming into kindergarten. If they were 5 by August 15th and you have not registered them for kindergarten, you can do that by going online. And that website or that link is on the PCSS.com website. If you can't find it, just call the central office or any of the elementary schools. And that process has gone all online this year, the initial registration. Once you do that, your zoned school will contact you to complete that registration process. I also want to remind people that pre-K registration for children who will be 4 years old by August 15th is also happening now, and you can get those forms at any of the elementary schools or on the Putnam County website or at the central office. And we really want to get those four-year-olds into our pre-K program. We have an excellent pre-K program that will really prepare those four-year-olds for kindergarten the following year.
Well, that's great. It's amazing that we're sitting here at this point in the spring talking about next fall, but that's the way these things work.
Right.
And this registration is really important. And then this registration for things that's happening in June is right on top of us. So deadline to register again is April 20th for these camps. And they're going to have a lot of fun and they're going to learn a lot of things as they go through these programs. Well, there's a lot going on in Putnam County Schools. It's been a challenging year, a tough year in some ways, but I think, as we said earlier, the kids adapted pretty quickly to the new environment. From your perspective, Do you see any long-term curricular change that was made this year that's going to be permanent? That is, how has this pandemic affected the way we're going to do business from now on in Putnam County schools?
It's funny that you should say that, Bob, because we are enacting a virtual school next year, beginning at third grade, which is pretty young. But parents will have the opportunity, say it went really well with some of those students who learned remotely, and they prefer that mode of learning, and it works well for those families. They will have the opportunity, beginning in third grade, to be part of that virtual school. It's almost like it's going to be a separate school. We will use the same curriculum at the elementary level, and I'm sure they will at the middle and high school level as well, that we use in Putnam County Schools. So it's almost like you're a student. Well, you are a student of Putnam County Schools, but you're able to learn virtually and continue that mode of learning because it worked well for you. And that's a great opportunity. We did not opt to do that in K through 2 simply because we really feel like those kids need to be in person because of the importance of, again, seeing a teacher's mouth and being able to teach sounds and reading skills. All of the reading foundational skills are taught in kindergarten through second. So it's imperative that those kids be in person in school. So that's why we didn't do it at that level. But, yes, lots of new opportunities in Putnam County because of this, so it wasn't all a bad thing.
And it's sort of a brave new world. There will be all kinds of things to work out as you get into virtual school, because the affiliation of the student will be with the virtual school.
Yes.
And so extracurricular activities, student clubs, student government.
Yes.
It's going to be a cyberspace kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes, but they will be able to participate in sports and extracurricular at the school. So that's a good thing.
They'll be able to go back to a regular school. I had heard some counties indicating they might not be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that is a big change.
We are going to be able to do that.
Excellent. Well, I think that's great for our kids in Putnam County. Well, from a teaching perspective, what do you think teachers have learned this year? It's been a really tough year on them, and they didn't sign up for this. But at the same time, they've had to develop some new skills and new skill sets. Do you think that'll change the way some of them teach from now on?
I would be shocked if it didn't. I know it's been a really hard year for teachers. It's been a really hard year for remote teachers at the elementary level, and I can speak to that level, because those teachers are so they're so used to having kids in person and that, you know, that contact.
Oh, yeah.
And they miss that so much. They've already said, you know, I don't want to do this again. I did it this year for you, but I don't want to do it again, because they love that face-to-face contact with their students. But I do think that teachers have learned that they're more resilient than they thought they were. They're more adaptable than they thought they were. They have learned a lot about how instruction can be delivered that is non-traditional. And they've learned so many new skills related to that. So I think it will change how they deliver instruction in person, I think, forever now.
I think it will too. And I think as we end this program, we've just got to talk about those teachers as heroes. This has been a year that none of them anticipated, and yet they have done well in adapting to it. And those kids have been heroes too. So we want to congratulate them all, but we'll look forward to this summer camp and to the Bridge program, and then getting back to a brand new school year next year. We've been talking to Jill Ramsey from Putnam County Schools. Jill, thank you for being on the
program.
Thank
you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It's been great. Thank you very much.